Welcome to the Closer and Closer podcast, a podcast about expanding your creative capacity. Each week, we interview inspiring creatives to help you grow your freelance career. All right, let's get into the episode. Welcome to the Closer and Closer podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Andrea Mejia Madriz, and I'm a part of the artist marketing and partnerships team here at Closer and Closer. This week, I have my partner in crime back with me, Dave Arcade.
It's good to be back. Thanks, Andrea. I'm Dave Arcade, an artist on the Closer and Closer roster, but enough about me because it is my pleasure to introduce today's guest. Felipe Vargas is a freelance motion designer and illustrator from Chile. He specializes in designing, directing, and animating a wide range of motion projects, along with a lot of editorial illustration work. Felipe is driven by a passion for telling meaningful and compelling stories. This is true. His clients include Adobe, Yahoo, the World Bank, the WHO, right? The Who, yeah. Facebook, Citi, JP Morgan, and many others. It is my pleasure to introduce Felipe Vargas.
Welcome to the show, Felipe.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Andrea.
What's up, man? You and I know each other. We have chatted quite a bit, but it's good to finally have you on the podcast.
Yeah.
You have? Where at? I didn't know that.
Feedback Fridays.
Feedback Fridays. They go for so long.
Yeah. They do, but since Felipe is an absolute wizard of an artist, I pick his brain like he doesn't realize it, but I'm like trying to steal like all of these things that he does, and he openly provides all of these fantastic suggestions for what I should do, and I'm like, okay, cool, perfect. I'm getting everything out of this relationship, and he's getting nothing.
No, I get so much. So like, it's always like, no one really wants to talk about their jobs and how they do their job and on a Friday, except on Feedback Fridays. Yeah. So, that's that.
Totally. Well, I'm excited then that you guys have a little bit of, you know, background on each other because you can pick out all the good stuff, Dave.
Yeah.
But to start us off, again, the most basic question, we ask it every week, but I think it's a good starting point always. Felipe, tell us a little bit about how you got to where you are today, where your relationship with creativity started, how you came to animation and illustration, just all that good stuff.
I think the best way to describe it is just following what I love to do. Since I was a child, it wasn't enough for me just to watch or just to love something, but it was just I have to draw. I have to make a comic about it. Mm. I have make room for all these like small stop motion films. So yeah, even video games, like always said, like video games kill creativity. Yeah, it's just, if they come with a level editor, yeah, making new levels for that, making new characters for that. And then the internet opened up and it was like, free space. It's like, yeah, I have discovered this way to like edit this thing with this software, with this program. And from then on, it was just like that. It's Halloween came and I like designed costume for me and my friends. Like the college, week started and they called me for making the school murals.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it was, yeah, creativity. And obviously because of that, I studied medicine for 2 years.
Yeah. Really?
I didn't know this. Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
It's a third world story. Like, it's survival mode. Yeah. Everyone needs to be a doctor, lawyer, engineer. Or if not, you will die of starvation. So,
totally.
I knew you were smart. What?
But I didn't make good decisions then. But yeah, it's fun. It's funny because in those 2 years, I really got to know so many, many passionate people. Mm-hmm. And they were really passionate about what they were doing. And that, like, sent me the strongest message. Yeah, this is not my thing. Mm-hmm. I don't feel that passion that comes from them, like, from reading medicine.
Yeah.
I used all my time to do the covers of the investigations, the posters from the like big research symposium, etc. Yeah. I was like so out of place, having fun obviously, but so out of place. So then I got into design, and that was fun because in general, like designers are a more diverse bunch. Yeah, like not everyone is like showing their passion up front. Not everyone is like willing to share. So it became more like a lonely hunt for inspiration, creativity, like getting a style, etc., etc. And yeah, that was the early years.
Yeah, that's crazy. You said it was a lonely hunt. Was that like?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you prefer that, or were you kind of missing that, you know, camaraderie of what you were doing before?
Yeah, it's weird because, yeah, I think like in med school, so that sounds just so funny. like they all form like a team to study. Let's read together. Let's do this together. Let's, oh my God, the test is so difficult. I don't know what to do. And everyone cried together after the test.
Yeah.
And like, it was like, this is material for a TV drama. but in our school, it was different because like, and it happens to everyone, but I think like sharing your process, sharing your fears, like if everyone is afraid, it obviously depends on finding a certain group, finding the right people to just like go through this like voyage together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dude, that's so wild. You went to medical school. I didn't know that.
I hate that. I always repeat the like that fact. I I'm tired of like revealing that. It's so because it plays with the expectations. Like in Chile, at least when I was studying, I think now it has changed for the good. Like design wasn't really an option. It wasn't considered like a good career. Obviously, in the US, that happens too. Like but I got my. I remember getting my inspiration from ordering books from Amazon, like reading the life of Stefan Sagmeister, from Marian Banges, from Jessica Hitch and Paula Scher, like reading from their issues, stories, their struggles, and finding out that they were mostly the same.
Yeah.
Like many times, like the image of a guy who studies design or a guy that works in design is created by people that are outside the industry. And that can be really like discouraging. Yeah,
it's cool. I'm glad that you mentioned, you know, like the founder of Pentagram. You mentioned Sagmeister and Jessica Hitch. Like these are names that I'm not positive. Like if you're in your 20s right now, that you know those guys. But for us, like they're already kind of going into that like pantheon of legends that will be forgotten by the world. But those were the people that we looked to as like success stories, and they were more rare back then. Now it's like everybody you follow on Instagram seems to enjoy some level of success. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to remember, it's something about pre-internet success. And this isn't totally pre-internet because Sagmeister is not Sagmeister and Jessica Walsh is not Jessica Walsh without social media. But they, like that dude, would make these giant installations made out of like pennies and do like this beautiful type and then photograph it somehow in this way that like he captured all of it. And that's how big you had to go. We're talking the giant installations, right, Felipe? Like Sagmeister's type installations. That's how big you had to go back in the day, like to get a blog to pick it up or something. And now you can just show your 7,000 followers that turn into 13, that turn into 20, because they're like, look what this person does. And it, just so you know, person with 20,000 followers, you're not doing something as awesome as Sagmeister. You still need to try harder.
Yeah.
Right? It's absolutely. It, like internet fame wasn't a thing when we started like studying design.
You had to be loud enough to be heard.
Or the notion of being famous or that. Yeah, it was like just finding something fun to do with your time. And for me, it's always about learning. Yeah. And that could cut me like really counterproductive because you learn something and then you want to learn another thing. And you're like leaving time to perfect tools or perfect your previous thing. I always find that fascinating with artists that have like a certain style. Like they really perfected something and they keep doing it. And I would love to do it, but my mind is like looking always outside, looking. And because I love animation, it has this its own world of techniques and solutions and tricks, mm-hmm. like to keep selling the idea that this thing is alive and it moves and it's complex, etc. That trying to keep that in balance now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's also such a symptom of like the digital age too, right? Is that now you can see every single technique ever so easily and so quickly, whereas like before, you know, you would start doing this thing like illustrating or animating and you kind of just had what was in front of you and like you kept learning in a linear way. And I think it's interesting to see like how things have changed now, because you can go in every single direction and it does lead to like a lot less focus. So I feel like it's even harder to, you know, like really perfect something or get really, really good at something, even though, you know, you can be good at a lot of different things. It's a different ball game completely.
It's true. It's I've been watching like old cartoons lately and I'm so sad I don't have the time to do frame by frame animation, because that's what I want.
Yeah.
And to your point, Andrea, like you can look up a style and you can mimic it. Mm-hmm. And then you jump on Instagram or you go on Behance and you will see this swath of styles. But you can't really get to where you're going until you're driven by something that you're obsessed with. And I would say mm-hmm. that Felipe is a good example of this. I know that you have some more questions for him, but like I think this we can jump back to those, but I think it's a good segue to talk about the thing that you are incredible at, among many other things. I consider you such a well-rounded artist. But when I first saw your stuff, I immediately went to your Instagram, because I was like, this guy must have like 89,000 followers. And I think at the time you had like 2,000. Because your visual storytelling is incredible. Like you're one of those guys that can crank out an animation, or rather while commercial artists are cranking out just a regular animation that might be very simple and straightforward, a moving picture, just because that's what people like, you're telling like a little story. And if you just like wanted to press whatever buttons, you could have people in tears or laughing. Like you really know how to do that, for lack of a better term, that Pixar thing, right? But it's kind of crazy, because it's just like, oh, this guy's just working in the programs we work in. What is he doing differently? And so I can only assume that you are obsessed, just like any other artist who's good at what they do. So where did this begin for you? Like how did you... Were you always interested in telling stories, or like did this talent develop as you began to animate and you're like, oh, like, is this a newer thing, or has this always been with you?
And what a good question. It's always about, I always get these really like intense and beautiful ideas about making an animated short or just animated a scene or just a like, little animated video while I'm listening to music, while I'm hearing a conversation just after a movie, I don't know. I get inspired and an idea pops up. And it's always like, that's like my main obstacle, like how to incorporate most of these things that really impact me when I'm doing commercial work, for example. Mm-hmm. So that's, how do I incorporate something that's beautiful and cinematic to something that wasn't really that intention, but actually is, because if they contacted me, they liked how it looks on my portfolio. So it starts as a sneaky way to be a mini filmmaker, and it ends being like this long cinematic shot for a small commercial. Yeah. And it evolves, it keeps getting more cinematic and more closer to the things that I really love. And then it appears on the portfolio and the client says, oh, I really love that. Like, we would use some of that for our, I don't know, tire company. And it becomes this huge, epic, emotional journey for the tire company and obviously for me.
See, that's beautiful, man. You're that guy who can take the story of a tire company and like, we just make tires. And you're like, no, 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 you don't make tires. You make this. And then you make something that is that. And it's not phony. It's just like, it's understanding like the heart of what things really are. And I think you're really good at like getting to that and being serious about that. And then turning it around to show everybody else. I know the music thing you're talking about, and I'm really glad you brought it up because we have a comparison here. When I listen to music, I want to think of what that story should be. And my mind goes there and it just is blank. Sometimes it's not. So most of the time I get caught up in the pace of the song, which either turns into, this probably happens to you a lot, somebody running. And you're like, okay, fine. Like running, somebody running or somebody punching. Get that out of your head first. Those will always be there. But I still can't do what you can do in your head. And I guess what I'm saying is I understand it and I'm okay that I can't do it. And it's neat to talk to somebody where they actually do see the thing in their head. Cause I've tried. It's the same with songwriting. I can play guitar, but I cannot sit down and sing a song. I'm fine with that. You probably could. So you're just better than me, Felipe. Is that what you want to hear? Is that why we're doing the podcast?
I totally agree. Not in the I'm better part, but like the reaction, I always cling to that. Like when you really love something, why do you love it? What do you get from that? And trying to capture that and save it for when it's needed, something like that. Mm-hmm. But not in the form of, this color with this color palette. Like I don't like the word color palette. It's like, because it's like a preset or something like, I don't know, a backpack of tools.
Yeah.
I like the idea of trying to replicate the sensation or feeling you get from something. Yeah. And that like is the only thing that makes me really proud. Like, wow, I got it somewhere nice. I got it somewhere not emotional, but I really like it. Yeah. Yeah. It's like I'm like the harshest judge for myself. But it's like that. I think it was John Mayer. I don't want to quote just something John Mayer, but he said when he was songwriting, if he really liked it, obviously everyone will like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It sounds so stupid because how do I know everyone will like this? But if you really, 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 really like it, that's the harshest critic yourself.
Yeah.
So if you are really like moved by it, everyone open to that, obviously, open to that, will be affected by it.
Yeah.
And that's why I try, but obviously I can't because I'm immersed in this like internet thing. That's why I try to not look at trends, especially like things that are going right now in terms of colors, palette, style, because obviously if I love them, if it causes something, an impact in me, I will try to learn why that happens. But if not, it's okay. This is cool. For me, like something is cool. It's different that, wow, this is really something, right?
Yeah.
Like for example, yesterday, and you can relate, like Drew presented us like the art of Chidi Wayne.
Yeah.
Like this new artist. And you he does fine art I don't know if there's anything like better than meeting a new fine, your new favorite fine artist, like,
right.
That is something else, right? Because, when you look at design, the typical response is, wow, this is so cool. Or, wow, they really figured this out. Or, wow, they're so smart. But when you look at like really good fine artists, I can't even begin to describe what this is, and that's so cool. That's so cool. Like I envy that. But I think like design and especially motion design gives you like a framework. It needs to be animated. It needs to make sense. It needs to like do this and this and that. And it, that alleviates the problem. Like, I think that's a little freeing. Like, if I was a fine artist, I have to get to this goal. I have to like get something really good. But this just works. And I got the chance to sneak in some little, some little things, some little new stuff.
Chidi's just different. Like he, you nailed it. Like he did not at all. And you can tell, and not that any artist really does this, but some do, did not look at Instagram and was like, this is what I'm going to do. Because he would not be, you know, and you're the same way. It's like,
it's like asking Chidi, hey Chidi, what software did you use?
Yeah. It's just like,
it's devoid of that question. Yeah.
Again, he's doing the Sagmeister thing where he's just throwing the damn ball as far as he can. It's like, I don't know. I'm not trying. He'd probably say, I'm not trying to get anybody's attention. I'm just doing what I'm doing. And I say the same goes for any artist who's good at what they do. I'd say the same goes for you. Like there's no audience. You would still do what you do.
Yeah.
Obviously, because if you look at your own work, you must be like, the mission is to be surprised by even your own work.
Exactly.
And that's hard. That's hard. Yeah. And if you're really like pursuing it, like, it can be tough, but when it's done, it's like so satisfying, and it always works.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds so vain, talking about every time you really like something you did, it's always like a guarantee that the client will like it and change like functional stuff, obviously. And the comments are always to the point because it's functional.
Yep.
But your main concern, is, Yeah, but I don't really like it. Yeah, let's do it again. And until it's approved.
It's tragic if you do not like it yourself.
It is.
It feels like a tragedy. It's like, man, you can take a step back and be like, I bet you this is fine. I bet you I can present this to the client and it'll be fine. But I hate it and it feels tragic to me. And we'll stay up for hours into the early morning hours. We will be thinking about in the shower, biting our nails. How can I make this better? How can I make this better? And when we figure it out, it's like you've been cured of a disease. It's so dumb because it's just drawing. But you feel what you feel and you get like, you might as well have just been told you have cancer sometimes. If you do not like what you're making. We went off on a really fun tangent. I like that. Andrea, I feel like we should jump back on track here.
You're completely fine. Well, and I think something that I wanted to say is, like, I think that's something so special about the artists on our roster, and Drew talks about this all the time, is that, like, sure, there's artists out there where, like, they'll get a brief from a client and, like, they'll just do the brief and then that'll be that, but, like, people come to you guys because you have the ability to make that extra magic and because you're not just gonna, you know, complete the brief, get an A, do the job, and get it done. You guys, like, actually really care about what you're doing, and you do it in a way that only you can do it, which is, you know, what I think is so special about our roster and why I like having these conversations.
That was a nice compliment. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. No, you guys do it like no one else. I'm always impressed. I'm always sending my friends that, like, don't care about art all of your guys' work and being like, look at what they did. And they're like, cool, Andrea. Anyways. Yeah. Yeah, that was a lovely tangent, and I love it. And I almost feel bad asking you another question that is not related to the tangent, because I feel like we got so much good stuff there. But I wanted to ask, I know that obviously you started with, like, illustrating as a kid and stuff, but animation is where your true work is, and motion design. But you also do illustration and editorial illustration and all that. I kind of wanted to ask, like, A, why do you do both? Like, why don't you just stick to one? Always an interesting question. And then also, like, how does your animation and design inform your illustration style and, like, change what you do there?
Yeah, it's a good question. I started really doing movies, filming, doing stop motion, video editing, obviously making bad music too.
I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, I love bad music. but I think it, it I was drawing all the time, obviously. But it was like this typical teenage realistic graphite drawing of something. And obviously that takes to you to a different road. I wasn't the kid that was drawing an illustrative style or like a freestyle. There wasn't so much to look around for that. It was like, if you want to draw well, draw exactly like it is. And it's obviously the ego boost from drawing something exactly like it is at that age, and everyone, oh wow, it looks exactly like that.
Yeah.
And you didn't look at illustration as we know it now, as I know it now. So it was on hold for a long time. But animation translated really well. I think I started animating mostly even when I entered, I started as an animator at my agency I work at. Because, yeah, you tend to do the easiest thing that makes the most result. Like animation was at that time, like easier for me. And it got me pay a salary. It everyone liked it, and it wasn't so hard for me as like doing illustration.
Yeah.
But the thing that happened then is like, I started as an animator, but I have like two of the best Chilean illustrators working alongside me at the agency.
Oh, wow.
And it wasn't just looking at their work. They were handing me their PSD files.
Oh, nice.
With all the layers, with all the masks, with all the clipping masks. And my job was to make puppets from them and then animate those.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is, okay, I animate, but this is beautiful. And like, this is something else. And then like the bug started because they had this, I'm talking about Raúl Burgos, who lives in Canada now. Who is an incredible, incredible artist. Harold Bustos, who is another Chilean artist, beyond amazing. And Camilo Winca, who's very known now as Only Joke, and three amazing artists. Like it was like electricity directly to my brain. Like you must draw, you must. And it happened before because when you look something so inspiring, like so close, it's like you must do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like I must do that. Like, and I can do that also.
Yeah.
It's not like going to a concert and I must do sing. I don't know. But I might just be able to start drawing not realistically. And I started looking at a lot of my previous reference. I love like Charlie Harper is like my maximum idol in that regard. And I know how to animate. So I just I added one and that's 1+1. And I guess I will always be a mix of animator and illustrator. My illustrations will always be easy to animate. And my animations will always be a little influenced by animation software.
Yeah.
Which is weird, but my illustration style is influenced by reading software. Like,
that's fine. That's where you grew up. Like when you were like, yeah, you know, when the internet hit, and I realized like there's this editing software out and that I could make stop motion videos. And then the movies I saw, I realized I could translate them. Like we're different generations. And I didn't see that. The younger people did. My son, yes, who's even younger than you, same thing. Like he got a DS when he was little and he loved playing the games, but he also realized with these other, I can't remember what the application was, but he's like, look, Dad. And there's like these red and blue and yellow shapes, like turning from squares to circles into tiers, just like in this beautiful little loop. I was like, well, how the hell did you do this? And it's because that's what was put into his hands. And so, you know, like, is it cool that people from the 20s freaking drew Goofy or Mickey Mouse frame by frame? Sure. But that's what was put into their hands, and something different was put into your hands. And so, yeah, like you are a master of the software, but it doesn't make it any less impressive at all. It's still a beautiful, wonderful thing.
And adding to that is because I love animation, I love illustration, etc. But why I wasn't inspired by anime or by animated cartoons, why I wasn't inspired by like Disney films, they are beyond beautiful and beyond emotional, and they're incredible. But they're so incredible that you feel like a distance.
Yep.
I can't do that. I can't do cell animation. I can't do Pixar.
Yeah.
But when you look at something that is really great, but doable, not right now, but you can see yourself doing that. That's yeah. magic. I remember in university, I thought I wanted to be like a furniture designer because I always loved that job and I wish I was today. But I remember I was walking to a class and a teacher from another subject has this like DVD from Pictoplasma, like this character design conference. And it has like the animated version. And I looked through the window and it was this goofy video of a fruit hanging from a thread. And someone painted animated glasses and a mouth, and it was talking. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the angry orange. It was like a scene from a robbery. Like the orange were taking the money and putting it, and the cops arrived. They were all yelling to each other, but they were just a bunch of fruits like hanging with threads, and someone painted the mouth and did the voiceover. And that for me is perfection. Like something that is incredible. It's like, it gets you emotional to somewhere emotional, but it's doable. And when I look at designers and I'm always surprised by something that is really, really simple, but different and yeah, now the kids, are like really inspired by Cel Animation and they are doing like incredibly, incredible stuff. I couldn't do that. I always, it's like when, I don't know, when I see like, I don't know, Akira, the runner, like, I want to do something like that, but not that, right? Yeah, because I will die in the process. So, yeah.
I love that. You say these things that I have the same thoughts. It's like, yeah, I don't want to break a world record running, but like, I want to take that energy. Like there's such like beauty in that energy, you know, or like, I don't want to climb Everest, but I want to take those views, but I don't want to draw those views. It's like taking that inspiration from the world and then just translating it into what you do is kind of what I hear you saying there, which is awesome. Another thing that I heard you say that I think is so important, is I can do that. Like mm-hmm. if you're an artist out there and you're kind of like struggling with what your style is, you haven't found it yet, but you'll eventually see something just like Felipe said that you'll look at it. And you're like, I can do that. And I remember looking at Bro's Mind, who's a contemporary, but I was already, it's all the pieces came together. Like I had been watching cartoons my whole life. I loved them. I'm a huge Tom and Jerry fan and Chuck Jones and Max Fleischer, Popeye, like all that stuff. I always loved it. But like you, I never saw it and was like, oh, I should draw that until I saw Bro's Mind. And I was like, oh, I can do that. Oh, this is like, yeah, this is how you take all that stuff from the past and translate it. So you just got to see something that you can do and it'll come. Like just hang in there, artists. You'll figure it out. yeah. So what, that wasn't even my question. It's just a comment that, anyway, so you have a pretty crazy process. You would not be able to, like, if we saw under the hood, I'm sure there's all kinds of stuff that, like, really, like, that's part of his process. But how, as simply as you can, relate or translate it, or help us visualize, like, how do you go about this? Like, does it start with a story in your head? Do you start with sketches, and then what's the first program you jump into, and then when do you finally go to After Effects? Or do you sometimes jump into 3D? Like what software do you use? Tell us. Oh, pull the curtain back.
Yeah, absolutely. I get the most joy when I jump early in the process. So it started in the agency. Like I wanted to be earlier in the process, making the script, for example. Mm. So when a client comes and it comes with the script, like you really want to be there for the storyboards. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
For me. Yeah. You really, if you are a motion designer, I don't know. I don't know if it's for everyone, but for me, you have to be at the storyboard stage because that's where the magic really happens. Mm-hmm. When you define like, this will be shot from here, this will be shot from here, this plane will see this close up of the hands and then a transition to this, to that. Then you have more room to like, try new stuff, or okay, this will be solved this way and this way, And because if you do the storyboards and you have a notion to how to animate and how to illustrate and how to do a little sound design, you have the notions while doing the storyboard, you are seeing the problems that are ahead. Mm. For me, it's a blessing. It can be a curse. I think if you have a really great team, you can do the storyboards however you want. The artist will draw it, will have to pay the price, and then the animator will have to bend his mind to figure out how this will be done. That is great. But because I don't have normally a big team, I try to figure out myself at the storyboard phase. So yeah, I will do a long shot from far away. That way you have to move the characters like very little and it's very simple. Yeah. And then the big close-up shot and then, an opportunity to draw hands, an opportunity to do this. Obviously everything serving the story, serving the message, serving the client, but it's a mix. You do like the perfect storyboard and that makes like always the perfect project.
Yeah.
In terms of, after that, in terms of animation, you already saw in the storyboard in your head how this will move, how this will look and how this will not feel, but, how this, your perfect end result, something like that. And I'm starting to lean to doing some pre-visualization work. It's like, for example, you want something to move and hit something and it, I don't know, becomes something else. Instead of like drawing and then animate that drawing, I like to see if it works first. So I just put a cube on After Effects and make it hit the other white surface and it drops like circles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, it works. Then now I get the frame from After Effects and take to Photoshop and draw on top of it.
Mm.
Obviously, this takes time. If I don't have the time, I go directly to drawing. But while I'm drawing, because I know a little about animation, I can already like see the problems ahead.
So
maybe he's on the side and you don't see the other arm. Maybe he's wearing a helmet. Yeah, maybe he's wearing a helmet and no hair problems.
Yeah.
Maybe he's inside of a car, no legs to animate. So maybe he's wearing I don't know, skis. So he just goes without moving his legs. So obviously everything serving the story, everything serving the client, everything. But you do these tricks all the time to get the most out of it, right?
Yeah.
Because you want to make it really beautiful, really impactful. Like you really want to love what you were making. You really want to have time to like really make it good. So you take all these shortcuts, tricks, and like, I would say like you are working as a director, as a mini director. So you're like looking at all the problems ahead and trying to get ahead of them. And in terms of software, it's just missing everything. Like, because you decided, okay, this will need a complex rig. So I will go to After Effects, joystick and sliders. This will not need something so complex. I can animate this hand by hand in Photoshop. Mm-hmm. And like you're taking decisions, you're adjusting to the storyboard. And for me, that's the perfect project. Like when the client has no expectations of, we need the classic video player with these two characters and one looks at his cell phone and he press the button and everything comes. No. Yeah. I love to mix things up. It makes me learn more. And it makes to, obviously, when I'm looking at a movie, we all see like all this variety of shots and this variety of way of solving animation, movement, translating like, ideas, and you want to incorporate that. You want to incorporate all these different things. And then figuring out how you do it, how you make this thing work. A lot of my favorite animation studios do that. I don't know if they do that literally, but they really take from movies. They really take from cinema. They really like, do a cinematic approach instead of a design near motion graphic approach. Yeah.
Yeah. That is the difference between you and your regular, even fantastic animators. You are always thinking cinematically. Just Andre, just so you know, here's an example of that. A few months ago, Felipe was sharing a project and it starts off from the first person view of the spaceship.
And I know this project. Yeah.
Yeah. Like So now I'm talking to the viewers. I'm no longer talking to Andrea. And the spaceship takes off, and it's like this futuristic world. And it eventually, this, I hope I'm not combining two things. This is the one that eventually turns into a logo, correct?
Yes.
Like you start off in the logo, in a futuristic world, in a spaceship. And it's like, man, how do you get from a logo? Like the client gives you the logo, and I'm sure they're like, do an animation of this. You're like, again, getting to the heart of what it could be is the magic of what you do. And like, you can't ask for better than that. It's like, well, what if we made it a little world and then it zoomed out? So cool. So yeah, cinematic versus just, I don't know, just animating. Cause I do that. I'm like, I'll just animate. Right. But thinking cinematically, that's inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not to disregard like, the other kind of approach, right? It's like, it's just what you choose to do and it's what's valid. It may even change. About that project is, I think it's really crucial, like, to get the client on board. And for that, like, the most powerful tool is like the video conference. You can do it on or over email.
Yeah.
So for example, they present you the logo and we, and the logo is a landing platform. And but did you see episode 2 of Star Wars when they go through all this city with the tall buildings and you start to get excited? The client starts to get excited and you start to talk about half an hour about the Star Wars, about Blade Runner, and like the client really, most of the clients really want that, really want a guy that gets really excited and starts to talk about what moves them, what moves the
true.
If it works and obviously the client must be on board and his expectations has to be met. But there's always a chance to like introduce some of yourself in your work. Like that's the dream. So you're always striving for that. And the clients love that because they see what's the point of that. They see that if you are excited about it, they might get excited about it. And the result always will be better. Like, if you have someone like that is working happy, like they will overachieve. They will try to make it work at all costs.
To avoid that tragic feeling of not liking what they've created.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, because you're now attached to the project.
Yep.
Which, as you said, can be tragic. Like this small animation for the entire company is now the expression of your imagination.
Yeah, I love the word.
It's now the story of your life.
Yeah.
And because you get so attached to it, the result is somewhere in the middle. It's obviously not an epic story belonging to a movie theater. It's not the boring commercial. It's somewhere in the middle. And it's a happy place.
Yeah. Gosh, I love that.
Yeah. Good stuff, and I think so much. Yeah. It was also like listening to you talk about all of this stuff. Like it really just, again, strikes me. Dave kind of mentioned this at the beginning, but you are just so smart in what you do. And like you have so much knowledge and you have to think about so many different little details throughout the entire process while also being like a magnificent storyteller and, you know, making people feel something. It's just, it's been really impressive just like chatting with you and hearing how your brain works. Cause I don't know if I could ever do that. So, you know, just wanted to throw that compliment out there.
You'll be able to do it, Andrea. Give it a couple weeks. Okay.
A couple tens of years into the practice and learning everything, and maybe I'll get there one day.
That'd be amazing if you've just been taking all this knowledge from the podcast and just building and building and building and not telling anybody, and then you unleash this crazy portfolio on us.
Exactly.
Like, I told you I could do it.
Yeah.
No. It's also fun because people will hear this in the future and say, wow, he must do like really excellent movies. And then they see my portfolio is the entire commercial. he did all this mental work for that. Wow.
That's the beauty of it though, right? It's like, I remember learning this in school. We had to do a brochure on pork. And I was like, how can I make this interesting? And I made the coolest freaking brochure you'll ever see. I was like multi-tabbed and I cut out B movie poster monsters and did all these collages and it barely had anything to do with pork, but I made the project exciting. And not that like you feel that way about the commercials you're handed, but you definitely have found like a universe within a commercial space.
Yeah.
I think so. There was a cartoon that describes perfectly like this state of mind. It's very badly drawn. I don't remember the artist, but it was this guy like with the hand on his chin, like looking pensively at the computer screen, like a fine artist, like, and text balloon over his head. It was, oh, they will love it. This is so good. This is my next. And it was like a commercial for sausages. And it's literally like the word sausages and below it, like a badly drawn sausage. And the guy's like, yes, a little more to the left. Yes. I think maybe our parents look at our job that way. It's like, he loves it so much, but it's like, yeah, at the end, it's like this commercial.
It's all right.
Yeah.
You don't it's get right. it, mom
if you love
and dad.
It, if you love it, it's okay.
Yeah. I think it's hard to be called an artist in the world of commercial art. I think there are artists who can do commercial art and there are artists who can't. And I know that everyone would look at like the artist who can't as like the cool one or the rebel, but I think it's way cooler to be able to work with somebody within all of these rules, all these parameters, all these branding guidelines, the specific story for the specific campaign. And when you narrow it down, it's like a little tiny dot of space that you can work within. But what makes commercial artists impressive is they can zoom into that space. They are only limited by their imagination. And I think it shows how much imagination you can pour into something more than given a blank canvas. It's like, well, that's easy. Try this. Try this obstacle course, artist. Try these acrobatics, artist. Can you freaking do it? Are you creative enough to do it? Because it takes an unbelievable level of creativity to do what we do.
I agree.
That is me tooting my horn, your horn, squeezing the boob horn of the... Okay.
No, it's fun because imagine like having an Oscars ceremony award for like design and motion graphics and people crying with their little statue. I want to thank the Academy, I want to thank my family. And it's like this small sausage commercial behind it.
I love that. Crying and it's with what their they little deserve.
Statue. Now everything makes sense.
I want to cry with a statue. Like, thank you, Hanes Underwear. For giving me
maybe next Christmas we'll send you all a little statue for like what we think is each of your best pieces at the end of the year. That'd and you great. Guys can take pictures crying with them.
And money. Send us money too. Send us $2,000 bonus. We should get bonuses.
All right.
Yeah.
Bring that up
before
with Drew.
I promise something that I can't
Drew,
promise.
Drew, give us bonuses.
We should have an award ceremony.
Anyways, before I promise you guys something that I can't actually promise you. Let's wrap it up and take it home. Felipe, thank you for talking to us today. I really appreciate it. And I have my last question for you, always the toughest. Let the people know where they can find you.
Oh, on Instagram is Vargas Lubert, but definitely it's hard to spell it. So
spell it out.
So it's Vargaslubert. Vargas Lubert.
Gotcha.
Which is my last two names because Felipe is like the most common Spanish name and Vargas is the most common Spanish surname, you say?
Yeah.
So it's like John content, Smith in the States.
It's like John Smith in Spanish, yeah. Juan Perez, Felipe Vargas. So, yeah, when I was at the dentist, there were already two more Felipe Vargas in the waiting room. And there was a mix of the hours. And when you were, like, signing the papers, what Felipe Vargas? No, yeah.
Wrong one. This one.
Really creative name.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you, Felipe. It's been great.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
Thank you, Andrea. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks for tuning in to the Closer and Closer podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review to receive the latest episodes. You don't want to miss some of the incredible conversations that we have coming up. They'll be full of powerful insight to help you reach your full creative potential. To find out more about us, visit www.closerandcloser.co. But wait, before you go, we've got something super special for those of you looking for more opportunities to grow your creative career. Head to the show description and join the community, an interactive space to share information, gather resources, and build relationships with other creatives and us here at CNC.